بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة فقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Today we have the blessed, fortunate opportunity to look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in particular the zuhud of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we've already learned things of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically of him, yeah. And we've already heard that, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if Allah ta'ala had offered him Makkatul Mukarramah in gold and silver, and he turned it away. In Sahih Muslim, we find that Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu mentions that he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was the early part of the night, and they were walking in a part of Madinatul Munawwara that was paved with a certain type of stone. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indicating towards the mountain of Uhud, he told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu that oh Abu Dharr, so I said, Labbaik, Ya Rasulullah. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes me happy is if this entire mountain would be turned into gold. And for over the course of 3 nights, it doesn't stay with me. I spend and I spend and I give and I give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at most, what I would want to remain with me, and this is in Sahih Muslim, is just one gold coin, in case I fall into debt, so I can pay back that debt. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did come to debt often, and I'm going to mention that as we move forward. And it would have, and this is also in Sahih Bukhari, that he wished to have gold just to give for the sake of Allah, not for himself. Just to give and give and give, to spend amongst the servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Jami' Tirmidhi, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu mentions that in the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is graded Hasan Sahih, so it's a very high grade, that not even like a bread, a loaf of bread, of barley, of harsh barley, would remain for multiple days. It wasn't his habit to keep food stored. Now this is a whole different time. Nowadays we store food. That's we have cabinets and we have fixtures and we have fridge. That's what we do. It's a different day and age. But not even to store a piece of bread, their tawakkul was such that they would wait for the next day and Allah Ta'ala would provide them. And this was their zuhud as well. They didn't want to carry things over in their house from the dunya. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is in Tirmidhi, this is Hasan Sahih as well, that he used to sleep, not one night, but multiple nights, hungry. That was his habit. Now look, we're talking about the best of creation. Some of us, we work. Some of us, we go to school. And we know that if we have a big project or something very important that's due, we expect to have comfortable sleep. We don't need, people can't bother us. Tell the wife, or the wife tells the husband, you watch the kids, I have a big project coming up. And we expect to have the proper amount of nourishment and food. I can't be sleepy now. I can't be drowsy. I can't be hungry. I have to complete this project. Maybe it's to complete a profile. Maybe it's to get the taxes done if you're an accountant. Maybe it's to close the deal if you're a businessman. Whatever the case may be. It's a big surgery coming up the next day. You're a surgeon. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have to complete a surgery or perform a surgery. He didn't have to complete a business's taxes. He had to guide the world away from the hellfire towards Allah Ta'ala. What bigger project was that? And so, to be distracted by hunger and thirst and sleep, we would think that every day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have had divinely sent food 3 times a day at his table. And the most comfortable sleeping place, why? Because then he could operate at the best ability possible. But we know that that's not going to cause the soul to operate at the best ability possible. So the zuhud that he experienced was part of his being able to carry out the message in the best way possible. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Sahal bin Sa'ad al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu had once asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of these hadith you'll find in Jami' Tirmidhi. It's in Ibn Majah as well. Regarding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he used to, you know what we called the mukh. The mukh in the bone. The marrow. Because yeah, mukh is also the core, so it's also the brain. Yeah, the center, exactly. So the center of the bone, in Urdu, what do we say? Good? Yeah. Again, before, what was it? What was it earlier today? No, it's something else that you were just on point. Tandoor, yeah. Now it's the good, yes. Less than 2 hours, inshallah. And just joking with you. Farooq said doesn't like to hear this because I'm mentioning Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. I'll get to Bukhari and Muslim too, inshallah. So, that how did he eat the bone marrow? So, the reply was given, that when he was asked this, and he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never had any till he met Allah ta'ala. Now, we know that's a staple in our food. There's meat, there's bones, the bone is cracked, inside is marrow, but he didn't have that much until he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration, that he was also asked, Sahal bin Sa'd radiallahu anhu, that if you didn't have, like a sifter, a sieve, it's those things that what you, it looks like a mesh bowl, and then you pour flour into it, or you pour something into it, and the water drains out, but the actual what you need remains on top. So he said, how did you make bread if you didn't have a sieve, a sifter? And they said, we would just take the barley and we would just blow out the small pebbles. So some of it remained. You can't blow it all out and they're not going to sit there picking it all out. So they would just, yeah, and then that's all they would do to get it out. They had no way of making their flour fine. And that's how, and then they would just sprinkle some water on top of it and they would bake it that way. And this is how they used to eat. And Rasulullah ﷺ had the opportunity to eat better. But he chose consciously not to. It's narrated by Ayman radiallahu anha that once, because she came from Habasha, so she made a meal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where she sort of sifted out the flour to make a special type of bread. And so he asked her, what is this? And she said, this is what we make in our area. And he said, so I want to prepare it for you. And he said, no, take that flour and knead it and make it to the bread that we're used to. He chose. He chose zuhud. He chose to be simple and to keep things a little difficult. And all of us know that if we can compare the times in our lives that were difficult versus easier, the difficult times we usually had closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone loses his job or her job versus finds a new job. We know when the tahajjud is more active and the dua is more active. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it a habit to allow himself to taste some difficulty. Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that from the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara to the time that he left Madinatul Munawwara till he passed away, that they did not have three consecutive nights in which the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to eat wheat, just wheat. Muslim Imam Ahmad, Sunan Ibn Majah, in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim as well. This is narrated in all of those books. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mentioned that his family never ate barley bread for two consecutive nights until he passed away. And that is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, Jami' Tirmidhi, in Imam Tirmidhi mentioned it's Hasan Sahih, and Sunan Ibn Majah. And that they didn't have wheat bread for 3 days ever in his entire life. That's going to come right now. Okay. That's literally right now. So alhamdulillah. So when asked, then what would they fill themselves with? the two black things, dates and water, aswadin. Just dates and water is all they would survive on. Now, I want us to put into context what that means. When we sit down for iftar, there's a whole variety, right? Everything, alhamdulillah, we can desire, Allah blessed us with. If I were to ask anyone, and not saying you might be able to do it, but if I were to come to just a regular Muslim gathering and say, here's the samosas, and here's the falafel, and here's the, you know, waraq arnab, and this is the pakora. Yeah, exactly, the pakora. And here are the dates and the water, and here's the mango juice, and the mango punch, and the faluda, and this is the ruhabza and everything. Out of all these things, I want you all just to eat dates and water. Again, I think you all would be able to do it. You know how many people would become upset? Brother, why are you being extreme? This was what our Prophet ﷺ survived on most days and nights. And it's not like he wasn't fasting. He would fast, and even when he wasn't fasting, it was almost like a fast because that's all they had. But this was the best of all creation staple diet, dates and water. And he kept himself going, and he was a well-built man. He was a well-built man. He had a lot of broadness and flesh between his two shoulders. He had a strong chest. He had well-built shoulders. And he worked in the fields. He helped to build the masjid. He was out in the sun. He would walk. And when he'd walk in such a way that people would wear themselves out trying to keep up with him. And this is what he survived on. This is a spiritual strength that he had. In Sahih Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that until he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the family of Rasulullah s.a.w. never ate wheat bread with some type of curry. For two days straight. And even when he did have curry, what was the common curry that he had? Ni'm al-khayl. What is it? It's vinegar. He would often just...
Ni'm al-idam
al-khayl. Naam. Ni'm al-idam al-khayl. That the best curry that he had, he said, what a great dipping sauce or condiment or curry this is. That he would just take his bread and he would just let it soak a little in the vinegar. Who's ever tried that before? It's not easy to eat. I've tried it before. I was trying to copy it. So one day I took, it was apple cider vinegar. So it had some flavor too. And it was wheat bread. We can't even get the barley bread. And I dipped it and I soaked it. I eat it. And a few bites and I was done. I couldn't do it. And actually, this is what Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned to the tabi'een. When they asked about his eating, she said, don't ask about his eating. This is in Shama'il Tirmidhi of Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah. So don't ask about it. You won't be able to do it. And even today, if you try it, it's not easy to do. From her, radiallahu anha, it also comes that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. My shelf was empty of anything which a human being could eat, except half of a piece of barley in one shelf of mine. I ate some of it, then I left it for a long period of time. Now look at the type of food. It can just sit there for a period of time. And I tried to... And then she mentions, and this is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, it's also in other texts as well, that this was how she consumed. This was all that they had. And she is the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. Now, how do we put that? She's the first lady. Or she is the queen. This is our modern terminology. And this is who she is. Aisha radiallahu anha. She mentions many other things. In the Sahihain, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many times he would take loans to be able to eat. In one particular very interesting narration, which is also in Sunan al-Nasa'i, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased food to be paid on a later date from a Jewish man. So he did rahan. Rahan is like when you give an exchangeable, not exchangeable, what is it? Not down payment. It's collateral, yeah, something like where you give something in exchange for eventually being, so for example, if I'm going to borrow money from you and you say, okay, that's fine, but how do I know you'll pay it back? And I say, look, here are the keys to my car. Until I pay it back, you hold my car. Then now it's more comfortable. Now I pay the money back, you give me the keys back to my car. So he said, here's my coat of my armor. And what did he exchange his armor for? 30 scoops, hand scoops, just of barley to make bread. And he passed away in that state with this debt owed upon him. Well, it wasn't a debt because the armor was there. So it wasn't a debt. The Jewish man was able to keep the armor. But look at, this is the state he lived in. And this is not Makkah al-Mukarramah or early Medina al-Munawwara. This is after the Fath of Khaybar, the Fath of Makkah, what happens at Hunayn. I mean, so much is coming in, but he still chose the path of Zuhd.
He used to put stone.
Yes, na'am. When I get into that, it's a very good point. Sunan Ibn Majah, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that one day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given some warm meal to eat. When he finished it, he thanked Allah. And then he said that no warm meal, no hot meal entered into the stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave a duration of how many days. Not how many minutes, not how many hours, but how many days that had passed since he was able to get the warmth of a meal in his stomach. A warm meal. Alhamdulillah, we get that multiple times in a day. Nowadays, there's so much hastiness. You know, someone wants a warm meal, they put it in the microwave. And it's counting down from 30 seconds, you're like, 24, 23. I've done it, where it's like 5, 4, 3. You don't even let it get to 1, to 0. You just open the microwave and take it out. It's like, there's extra 2 seconds I don't need. So much hastiness has come in. And Rasulullah said, forget the warmth of the meal. The meal itself was missing. A warm meal once he got after many days had passed. Urwa bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu mentioned that his aunt, Aisha radiallahu anha, said to him, I swear by Allah, O my son, we spent 40 nights and no fire was lit, to heat the fire to cook. The fire inside the bowl or
the sign for cooking.
Yeah, it's a sign for cooking. Like you would light the fire and you'd put the pot over and this is what you would cook over. No, for 40 days, as no lamp was lit in the house of the Prophet ﷺ. And then he asked, then what did you do in such days? Aswadain. Dates and water. Just dates and water. And we were happy. And Rasulullah ﷺ, when he would have dates and water, he would eat it with happiness. He would eat it with such happiness. In fact, there's one narration, it's not in this text. You'll find this narration also in the tafsir of Surah Takathur. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. That's in Surah Duha. That you will be asked about. One day Rasulullah was walking and randomly, it wasn't planned, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and Umar radiallahu anhu came. Actually, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and Umar radiallahu anhu came and met each other first. They were walking randomly at a time that they didn't know that the other would be out. And they came to the Prophet who's also out. And when they asked, why are you out? He said that it's out of hunger. We're searching for food. So Rasulullah said, come with me. So when he took him to the house of an Ansari Sahabi, and we came to the house, that Sahabi wasn't home. So the woman of the house, the wife, that companion said, he just went to the well to fill up sweet water. Because certain wells had sweet cold water. And he's coming back. So they waited. And when he came back, he saw their states. And what did he say? He said that no one has better guests than me today, and you will not find a better host than me today. Yes. And they were truly the sahibin. And so, then he went and he broke off the bunches of dates. And not just one type of dates, different types of dates. Different types of dates for them to eat from his gardens. So they began to eat. Now this would have been enough. And then he said, wait, I'm going to go slaughter an animal. So the Rasulullah said, do not slaughter a young one. And do not slaughter one that gives milk to another. And so he slaughtered an animal, he roasted it, he came back and he gave it to, and they were eating. And Rasulullah turned to Umar radiallahu anhu and said, oh Umar, we are going to be questioned for this on the Day of Judgment. And he said, even in our state, when we were so hungry, we had to go wander Madinah to Munawwara looking for food. Even in this state, we'll be asked. He said, even in this state, you'll be asked. They were people who did not have much. But for whatever Allah Ta'ala gave them, they remembered Allah, they thanked Allah, and they were submissive to Allah, and they were grateful to Allah Ta'ala. In another narration, Aisha radiallahu anha mentions, this in Sahih Muslim, that I swear by Allah, we used to wait for the new moon, for the new crescent, the new month to begin. And then the next crescent. And then the next crescent. So that's 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. So 3 crescents in 2 months or 3 months would pass. And no fire was lit in the house of the Prophet ﷺ to cook anything. There's a few others. Aisha Dilana mentions that Rasulullah ﷺ didn't own things in pairs. So he'd only have one shirt. He didn't have two shirts. He didn't own a pair, not two shirts, not two lower garments, not two cloaks. Only thing he had was a pair of sandals. Which, I mean, you have to have a pair. That's, he never owned in twos. And sometimes he would receive something, he would wear it once, and then he would just give it away right away. In one narration, one man came to the Prophet ﷺ, and I believe this is Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that Rasulullah ﷺ was just gifted by one of the Sahabiyat a nice garment. So he put on that garment as a qamis. So that man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, O Messenger of Allah, I want that. So he said, okay. The Prophet ﷺ said, one moment, he went in the house, he put back his old qamis, and he gave it to that Sahabi. And the Sahaba ﷺ said, what's wrong with you? You know he's not going to say no. And you know he's in need of that shirt. So he turned back to me and said, you know, whatever with you. I'm not doing this so I can wear this now. I want to be buried in this. But Rasulullah ﷺ, he never said no. And he would just give and give and give. And so many times he would give, and if he couldn't give, he would turn to his Sahaba to give. And there were people of Zuhud, they couldn't often give either. Ahnaf bin Qais heard Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu say to Hafsa radiallahu anha, I ask you by Allah, are you aware that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to put his clothes aside to be washed? And Bilal radiallahu anhu would call the adhan. And then there would be no clothes for him to wear until the clothes that were washed were dried and he would put them on and go to pray. I just did a load of laundry. And not all my clothes are there. I still have a few pairs of clothes I can put on if I need to do. That's how we are. We have just, and it's not even considered excessive. That's just normal for us. But the best of all creation, the king of all human beings, right? Of all human beings, the best in position. The king is obviously Allah. But the best in position is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no desire for the world. In Sahih Bukhari, we see that Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that the bedding of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a skin. And in it, we just put date palm leaves or fibers to stuff it. And Ibn Majah, the term we say in bedding, and this is in Sahih Bukhari as well, it's not firash for the Prophet ﷺ, because firash is, it's comfortable. It's dijah. It's because it's not even a firash. It's not like a bedding. It's almost just like a mat. Yeah, just like a mat, like we're talking about, yes. The pillow of the Prophet ﷺ was made of skin with some tree fibers inside of it. This intermediate Hassan Sahih. Abu Dawud, rahmatullahi alayhi, it's mentioned that Musaddad related to us, the Hamad related to us from Khalid bin Hadha, from Abu Qilaba, from one of the members of the family of Salama radiallahu anhu, Salama, he would say from the family, the bedding of the Prophet ﷺ was the same as what we used to put the people who passed away, what we used to put them to lay on in their graves. The one who's alive, his comfort came from what the person who's passed away is put to sleep on. Such zuhd. Ibn Majah rahmatullah alayhi narrates from Amr bin Rafi, related to us from Jarir, from Muslim bin Kaysan, from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, that he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit the sick frequently. He used to escort the deceased to the places that they would be buried. He would answer the invitation of a slave. He would ride upon a donkey. And these are all zahid, zuhud, zuhud, zuhud. He used to visit the sick. So many people, not necessarily us, but they feel they're above that. Or we'll just give a phone call. How are you doing? That's it. Or escort the deceased. I'm too busy. I have to be at work. Or invitation of a slave. We'll accept the invitation of the Amir or people of high position, but the slave, what can the slave feed me? Nothing. It'll be very little. Or he would ride a donkey. People rode horses. Rasulullah chose to ride a donkey. On the day when, in Banu Qurayza and Banu Nadir, and this is when he was, this Fath, he was on a donkey. On Khaybar, he was on a donkey as well. And the Sahihain of Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu said something that I was riding at the rear of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seated on a donkey whose name was Ufair. So I'm not going to go into the Zuhd of the companions because we took a long time with this. But sometimes it's beneficial to have selective Zuhd. If we refrain a little, Allah will give much more in return spiritually and in the hereafter. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who really take Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the best of examples. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us amongst those who are able to benefit from what we have learned. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad, barakallahu salam. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir 'anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana ighfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina. وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا عن القوم الكافرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكوننا من الخاسرين. Oh Allah, verily you are so generous, Ya Allah. We sit today, Ya Allah, living better than really the majority of the world, Ya Allah. The comforts that you have blessed us with, Ya Allah, over half of the world does not feel these comforts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the comforts you've given us, Ya Allah, the kings, just only a few decades ago were not able to even experience these comforts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the kings just from a few decades ago, Ya Allah, they were unable, Ya Allah, to send messages across the country. And we can send messages to friends across the country, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you blessed us with so much wealth, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask that that wealth, you do not let it affect our hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us be amongst those who can utilize that wealth for goodness, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu would receive wealth and he would give it away. And you would bless him with more. And he would give it away and you'd bless him with more and he'd give it away. Oh Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you give us tawfiq to be like such people. Whom you bless with wealth, Ya Allah. But then we choose to give it in your cause, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us for our israf, Ya Allah. And for our ingratitude, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, these are signs of kufr, Ya Allah. We ask that you free us from these signs, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us be grateful for all that you've given us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, he would sleep on what the people who had passed away would be resting on, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, such a perfect example you gave us, Ya Allah. He did not complain when he had to eat bread that we today would not even be able to swallow, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, he would not complain, Ya Allah. When all he had to eat was dates and water, Ya Allah, he would not complain, Ya Allah, when there would be no fire in his home to cook, Ya Allah, the food that the rest of us are able to eat with so much ease, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you please forgive us for our ingratitude, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have so many types of food, Ya Allah, and we're still ungrateful. We have so many types of sheets and bedding, Ya Allah, we're still ungrateful. Oh Allah, our homes are filled with wealth, Ya Allah, that it's embarrassing sometimes just to see what we throw away, Ya Allah, and we store and we waste, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us for our israf, Ya Allah, and our ingratitude, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you grant Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maqaman mahmuda alladhi wa'adda. And oh Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you let us benefit from that maqam mahmuda on the day of judgment, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Oh Allah, make us amongst those who are true ansar of this world, Ya Allah. And oh Allah, make us amongst those who others are able to benefit from. And when we pass away, Ya Allah, we are actually missed, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us love for zuhd, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us love for zuhd, Ya Allah. Make us people who love to leave things, even if they're halal, but they're excessive, Ya Allah, for your sake, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, so many people in this world are made to practice zuhd by force, because they have no home. They have no food, they have no drink. They have no family, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, so many people are made to see their children pass away in front of them, their spouses be dragged away and killed in front of them, Ya Allah, their houses bombed in front of them. Oh Allah, we got to sit in air conditioning on carpets with so much food that we can't even stand to pray because our stomachs are so filled, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our brothers and sisters are sitting in refugee camps overseas, Ya Allah. They don't have toilets to use, Ya Allah. They don't have proper waste facilities, Ya Allah. And they themselves were wealthy before, Ya Allah, and you chose that this test is what's best for them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we thank you for not testing us with this test, Ya Allah, but we ask that you make us a means of benefit for these people, Ya Allah. Those starving children who have nothing to drink because their mothers don't have enough food to produce milk, Ya Allah. Those starving children who have no parents to give them food at night, Ya Allah. Those widows who have lost their chastity because of the evil that exists in this world today, Ya Allah. And we sit in comfort, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, please forgive us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us use our wealth for goodness, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us stop looking at what we can save up for this world and start looking at what we can save up for the hereafter, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, many of us on the Day of Judgment, we are not going to have bounties because we've used them all in this world, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, we are so stingy, Ya Allah, we do not even make dua anymore, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, you mentioned Quran. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَضْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. That man is transgressing because he sees himself as being self-sufficient. إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رُجَعَى. Does he not realize he's going to come back to his Lord? Oh Allah, we've been so disobedient, Ya Allah, that you've actually had to mention in Quran. You've actually had to ask, Ya ayyuhal insan, O mankind, Ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. What has deceived you from your generous Lord? Oh Allah, as a community, Ya Allah, we have been so ungrateful that you've been forced to say, Ya Allah, Ma qadr Allah haqqa qadri, that we do not appreciate you the way you should be appreciated, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, change us, Ya Allah, to be people who appreciate you, who submit to you, who serve you, who are at every moment at your beck and call, Ya Allah, of this deen, Ya Allah, so we can gain from your reward, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you do not need us, Ya Allah, but you created us to benefit from you, Ya Allah. So, O Allah, teach us how to be true servants of you, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless our teachers, our akabir, our mashayikh, our ulama, our elders, our parents. Preserve them, Ya Allah. If they pass away, forgive them, Ya Allah. Bless our families, our spouses, our children, our siblings. Bless our ancestral lineage and our progeny to come, Ya Allah. O Allah, guide the entire world to Islam, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, such a gift you've given us, Ya Allah, that it has the power to save us from the hellfire, this ni'mah of Islam, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, let us share this ni'mah with others, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, heal our sick, Ya Allah. Cure our ill, Ya Allah. Give strength to our weak, Ya Allah. Give help to our poor, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts that have been disunited, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, in this world we keep eating and drinking because there's a thirst that we want to fulfill, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the thirst of the hereafter, Ya Allah, it's fulfilled through the most amazing experience to drink from the blessed hands of your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Allah, don't let us miss that. Oh Allah, don't let us lose out on that in the Day of Judgment. Oh Allah, there's going to be a group of people who are turned away and they can't drink from the hands of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we can't go see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this world, Ya Allah. And many of us, we can't even travel to see his resting place, Ya Allah. So oh Allah, don't let us rob ourselves of being with him on the Day of Judgment. Don't let the Prophet be upset with us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, and you, oh Allah, how much we've belittled you, Ya Allah. We're so embarrassed to commit sins in front of children. in front of non-Muslims, in front of our parents, in front of our elders. But we're not embarrassed to sit in front of you. Oh Allah, what is wrong with us, Ya Allah? Oh Allah, you made this month لَعَنَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you thought maybe we'd be able to attain taqwa, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us muttaqi, Ya Allah. And let us live as muttaqi people, Ya Allah. And let us die as muttaqi people, Ya Allah. And raise us up in the day of judgment as muttaqi people, Ya Allah. Oh Allah. We're not sitting here asking for money, Ya Allah. We're sitting here asking for forgiveness, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we're not sitting here asking for health, wealth, Ya Allah, or health, Ya Allah. We're sitting here asking for your Jannah, Ya Allah. We're sitting here asking for your pleasure, Ya Allah. So Allah, please be pleased with us, Ya Allah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika, Ya Allah.